Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. This week's Friday Reflection is inspired by the words of Helen Keller. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Hello, everybody, and thank you for stopping in for this Friday's reflection. Before we start today's show, I am going to make a giant request for all of you who know how to do this. Can you, pretty please, leave us an awesome review on iTunes or Stitcher? We have an amazing number of listeners, which is increasing daily, and that is super exciting. But we don't have as many reviews as those people who are at the top of the iTunes list. And every single review makes a huge difference in the world of podcasting. It really does. So if you do truly enjoy this show, it would mean so much if you left us a review. Something else you can do if you're enjoying the show is you can find me on Facebook, my personal page, and that is Lynette Renda, L-Y-N-E-T-T-E. And request me, and we can be friends on Facebook. And when I post the episodes and the beautiful, colorful picture of the guest that comes along with it, you can share episodes onto your page if you so desire. So that's something else you can do if you really are enjoying the show and you want to show support and you want to share the show and you want to share it with your friends. It would be awesome. But those reviews on iTunes are also super special. So if you could do that, that would be amazing. Thank you so much, and thank you for being a part of today's Friday Reflection. Okay, so on Thursday this week, we had business coach Roz Cardinal teach us a lesson in emotional management. Roz explained that emotional management is really about identifying emotions within ourselves and within others. And this topic is so important, so crucial to our person, our daily lives, and how or why we keep excitement or bring excitement into our lives that I want to explore further with you here today. First, let's talk about how showing emotion varies between men and women. It's no secret that as men and women, we were forced into stereotypical boxes from the moment we were born. These boxes confine men to like tough man status, right? And the physical size of an infant born son is correlated to his future strength, to his future sexual prowess. And the newborn girl is analyzed for her beauty. Discussions on having to beat the boys away are part of many nursery conversations. People can say that these comments are made in fun. And trust me when I say I am not an uptight person. But the truth is that these comments show the mindset of the speaker. And oftentimes that mindset, those ideas are coming from the parents. This thinking is the premise of the stereotyping that leads to boys being better in math and science and girls being better writers and artists because people believe them. And kids are guided in these directions based on their genders. This is not a new idea. It's the same line of thinking that promotes the idea that boys don't cry, that boys don't express emotion, that boys don't do female duties within their marriage. And it's the same line of thinking that prevents girls from showing how smart they are. from expecting that their emotions will be taken seriously, and from getting their own set of tools if that's what they want. You know, I'm on the other side of this microphone right now, and I'm wondering how many of you can connect to what I'm saying. How many of you see yourselves in these descriptions or in other similar ones? I don't consider myself a feminist or an activist of any kind. I'm just a straight-up equalist. And I also seem to be in the habit of coining my own phrases lately, too. As long as I can remember, I was that girl that wanted to play volleyball during the family picnics with the boys or the adults. When I sat at the kitchen table, I wanted to be fed the same amount of food as my brothers. And as I got older, I didn't want to be expected to make my husband a plate of food from the buffet at a family function. That concept completely blew my mind. Why would I get his food? I was 19 and married. I wasn't a servant. I do sometimes laugh at that now, especially because my husband is the type of person who will bring a plate of food back from the buffet to the table for me to eat, only because I'm usually too busy in some deep conversation and would rather chat than stand in a food line. I do see the irony in it, though. Apparently, I haven't changed much over all of these years. If I cook, my husband still does the dishes for the most part. It's not something set in stone, it's just fair. If I do the majority of the laundry and this keeps going on, I'll give him the "you got next round" look, and he gets it. Trust me, I know and have heard for the entirety of our marriage from all the he-men out there who beat their chest in poor John's defense. The thing is, I've wantingly ripped up rugs, beaten down brick walls, mowed the lawn, and worked on the engine of our van by myself. So what's the big deal? And why is it anyone's business? What is it about those people that inspired them to make it their business? That's the real question. Some men see this as weakness in my husband, but John and I see it as strength. John could absolutely care less when people make comments. From back in the day when he changed diapers, or now when he cooks for everyone, or is the designated driver on a girl's night. He loves me, and this is how he shows it. John's grown to take that as a compliment. So how does all of this tie into emotional management? Roz says that the first thing we need to do is understand ourselves. And the next thing we need to do is analyze those around us. I just gave you an intimate glance into my relationship with poor John. This has been a process of learning, of doubting, of discovery and discussion. We did naturally what Roz says is necessary. Go to the emotion and go through the emotion. I know exactly what she means when she also says that emotions present themselves in patterns. John and I will be married for 28 years at the end of this month. I cannot tell you how many times we have cycled through this scenario. Managing your emotions is one of life's constants. This takes place everywhere, all the time. It happened to me in the nail salon today. So when we say, let's discuss where we see emotional management coming into play for this week's guests, what I really mean is, let's discuss one aspect of where managing emotions comes into play for each guest. Let's start with Monday's guest, Erica Eno. Erica's passion is playing softball. She's in her 30s and has been playing since she was 5 years old. What I love about what Erica is doing is that she works at least 40 hours a week, yet she manages to coach a high school softball team and play on three leagues herself. She never let her passion die. One of the most touching things she said in her interview was what sports did for her as a child and what she hopes to do for her athletes now. Be a place where kids can go to find stability in their lives when life outside of their sport is a rocky one. It's as if Erica did then and still does use her sport to manage her emotions. I know this because the go-do for the day that she asked of everybody was to pay it forward. She said it could be a high five, a handshake, or a hello, because you don't know what somebody is going through that day, and something simple like this could change their whole day. You can hear the emotions in her words, and you can feel her ability to connect with those around her. On Tuesday, we had Jillian Swartz as a guest, and she uses emotional management in a completely different light. Jillian has her own marketing business and deals with a lot of advertising. She has to be hypersensitive to the emotions of others in her drafting of these marketing ideas. But if you really listen to her, she is also feeding her own need to be creative and entrepreneurial. One of the things that I will never forget about Jillian is her core belief that it's a literal sin, she believes, for people to allow themselves to be trapped in a job they don't enjoy, that what's on the other side is worth the risk, and that people can make money at almost anything, especially in this day and age. She talks in the interview about the patterns of emotion that come with taking leaps. And just as Roz states, Jillian says it's the going to the emotion and knowing that you will pass through it that's enabled her to attempt and find success in multiple businesses. Katie Chinnery was Wednesday's guest. Her passion is running. And some people might say, where does emotional management come into play while doing something as solitude as running? First of all, Katie doesn't just run for fun. She runs for a Division I school. And as her former teacher, I know how panicky Katie can get, and it's absolutely adorable. But Katie shows us how being a runner builds personal strength and leadership skills, how it turned her running partner father into her best friend, and how it enabled her a smooth transition into the most tumultuous time of her life, getting acclimated into her first year of college. She even mentions that when she's not running, she feels more scattered and less grounded. Running has provided for Katie a time and place to manage her emotions and people to support her in this. I've talked a lot about Thursday's guest, Roz Cardinal, the teacher of all things emotional management, but I would be leaving something very important out about Roz if I didn't mention how she used all of the techniques she taught us with her struggle with breast cancer. If you or someone you know are struggling with an illness or a tragedy of any kind, I do suggest that you go back to that interview and listen to Roz's account of how she utilized these ideas to keep a positive attitude. Having already seen her mother pass from the same disease, she was determined to do things her way, and she shares her insight on this. A very big thanks to Roz for teaching us all such a valuable lesson this week. I would like to end this reflection with a final thought. I have learned so much these last few years, so much about a litany of things. And I'm going to take the time to list them here for you. Stick with me so I can explain why at the end. I've learned that life is a process, that we all serve a purpose, that the world would not be complete without every single one of us, that we are powerful, that we are meant to feel and experience our emotions, not stifle them, that all the answers we seek are truly inside of us, that our thoughts control our minds, that the true self cannot be harmed or hurt by the past because the true self never changes and is always in the present, that we are each other's teachers and students, that there is nothing to fear, and that letting go of judgment is the key to letting in the light and truly connecting to the universe. And finally, that there is a bigger picture and I am just a pawn. There are two reasons I was moved to share these thoughts with you. One, I am left wondering, after all of this discovery, what I would have accomplished in my life had I understood these concepts sooner, even though I also understand that I wasn't supposed to. And two, I am left wondering, what will you do with this knowledge now that you have it? That's it for today, everybody. Remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.